He is the new voice of talk radio, Alexander Danilov.
Yes, folks, and welcome back to Solutionsology Radio. My show for tonight is going to be focusing on the financials once again. Of course, this is something I care and love very deeply. So of all the great guests I've had on the show, I'm very excited about the guests I have lined up for tonight, legendary investor and the president of the Blue Collar Investor, Alan Ellman. Alan, thanks so much for coming on tonight.
Thanks very much for the invitation, Alex.
Absolutely. So when I started doing my research, and I'm always doing it, and there's so many books out there, and there's so few that I actually bring on my show, and it's for reasons, and there are a lot of reasons behind that, whether it's Brian Shannon or Dr. Gary Dayton, or it's the whole slew of others that I brought on my show. It's very choice, very hand-picked. Tonight, we're going to be talking about your book, The Complete Encyclopedia for Covered Call Writing. Not to sound sacrilegious, but it's somewhat of a Bible for investors, especially those trying to get involved and mess around with, that's the right term, covered call writing and options as a whole, which I think are a very powerful tool if done the right way. And with less capital, you can do different things. And with your 401k, you can dramatically increase your earnings over time, especially in sideways markets. So let's introduce the topic. Let's explain, even though I've talked about it on my show at length, for those that are newer to the idea, Alan, what covered call writing is and why you decided to write this book.
Well, covered call writing is a strategy that embraces two other strategies. The first is buying and selling stock, which most of your listeners are familiar with. The second leg of covered call writing is selling options. And I highlight the word selling because that implies that you're going to be receiving a cash premium for undertaking the option obligation. And that is exactly what covered call writing does for us. It allows us to establish a monthly cash flow by leveraging the underlying security, be it a stock or an exchange-traded fund. So let me just give you a preview example as to how it works before we get into any more basic and advanced details about the strategy. So what we're going to do first is purchase 100 shares of stock. Now, the reason I say 100 shares, Alex, is because every options contract consists of 100 shares of the underlying security, again, be it a stock or an ETF. Now, once we own these shares and we're in a covered or protected position, we are now free to sell the option. So in a hypothetical example, let's assume for a moment that we purchase 100 shares of stock at $48 a share. At that point, our investment or our cost basis is then $4,800. Now again, once we're in that protected or covered position, we could then sell the option. So in this hypothetical, let's assume for a moment that we sell an option agreeing to sell those shares for $50 at any time over the next 1 month. Now, a typical premium in a scenario like that would be about $1.50 per share, $150 for the 100 shares, less some small trading commissions. Now, a $150 initial premium on a cost basis of $4,800 represents a 3.1% one-month return. So that's how the trade is initiated. Now, we have a one-month obligation. At the end of that 1 month, there are two possible major outcomes. In the first scenario, let's assume for a moment that the price of the stock remains below the agreed-upon $50 sales price. Well, the option buyer is not going to elect to exercise that option and buy our shares from us at $50 if they could be purchased at market for less. Let's assume for a moment the price of the stock remains stagnant at $48. In that case, the option will expire worthless, and we keep the $150, we still own the shares, and now we're free to sell an option the next month. Mm-hmm. Now, in the second possible major outcome, Alex, let's assume for a moment the price of the stock pops above 50. Let's say for a moment it pops to 52. Well, the option buyer is going to exercise that option, buy our shares from us at 50, turn around, sell it at market at 52, and that person is going to generate a profit. But we're the option seller, so let's have a look at this trade now through our eyes. We generated $150 initially on the sale of the option, income stream number one, and we also sold our shares for $2 more than we paid for them, 48 to 50 times 100, another $200. So the total proceeds in that 1 month is $350, which represents better than a 7% 1 month return. So that's kind of how the strategy works, but let me add this caveat as we begin our conversation. There are ways you could lose money using this strategy. There are risks, and so it's not a panacea. But generally speaking, covered call writers generate cash into their brokerage account by selling the option and then can manage their trades during the course of that one-month obligation or whatever option time frame the investor chooses to elect. My sweet spot are one-month options.
Now, we'll get into exactly how you got into that, because you guys have a whole system that you've developed, obviously, to survive. As long as you guys have survived, it's not easy to say, yes, we feel like we see a lot of people that have been in the industry for so long and been trading for so long. First off, a lot of those people don't trade anymore. They might be broke. They might have gone broke from trading. They're just selling their education now, which if you do it the right way is fine, too, because some people are better teachers than they are doers. And again, that's okay. But you guys, a blue-collar investor, do both, you especially, Alan. And throughout the book, you, you reinforce education here, so the importance of doing the research before executing a trade, looking at the candlesticks, technicals, but also the fundamental analysis. So let's get into that, because that that really devours a lot of the early portion of the book, because for people that are looking to do, you know, you're not going to do a covered call on the VRX on the Valiant stock at this point because of how whippy it is. You do it on one that's fundamentally sound, a Microsoft, again, something in your retirement account possibly, things like that. So let's talk about the fundamental aspects of it, because, you know, a lot of people forget that when you see a market that keeps going up and up and up and you're mired in the technical point, but you forget about the fundamental. And eventually that always matters.
Well, fundamentals matter to a great extent. And when I first started teaching myself how to trade first stocks and then ultimately covered call writing with both stocks and stock options, I always felt that fundamental analysis was the first step. Back in the early 1990s, when I started teaching myself these strategies, there were two schools of thought. You know, you had the fundamentalists where everything was about earnings and sales growth, and then you had the technicians or the chartists that said, listen, you don't have to worry about the fundamentals. Everything is in the chart. And I remember thinking to myself back then, hey, wait a second. Why not do both? Why not screen for the elite performing stocks from a fundamental perspective and then do a technical analysis on those stocks? And then you really have the best of both worlds. So earnings and sales growth is critical, and the reason I felt that way and still do is because these are the stocks that the institutional investors love. You know, I'm talking about mutual funds, hedge funds, banks, insurance companies. They love the stocks that have great sales and earnings growth. So I use three fundamental screens. You know, your listeners can pick and choose whatever fundamental screens they want, but I have had huge success using Investor's Business Daily IBD 50, which are growth stocks that have great-looking chart patterns. I also use the IBD Smart Select screens, which basically tell you three categories of fundamental analysis and technical analysis, but not just for the stock, but also the industry that the stock is in. So the IBD Smart Select will give you numbers and letters for each of those six categories, but then adjacent to that, there's a checklist of a little circle, and that checklist will be colored either in green, yellow, or red, green being the elite performers. So when I screen a stock from the IBD Smart Select, they must have all six categories in green, meaning that they're elite from both a fundamental and technical perspective, both the stock and the industry that that stock is in. So the IBD 50, I generate some securities, then I then run them through the IBD Smart Select. But I also have other databases that I run the Smart Select through. Then there's a third screen, the Scouter, which is a risk-reward screen, which currently isn't available publicly, but we've been able to get it through the folks that created that algorithm. It will be available publicly soon, and it used to be available on the MSN Microsoft site where they revamped it. They took it down. So it's not critical that you use this screen, but what it does is it uses 10 years of historical data. They've quantified it into equations and then created a range of 1 through 10. And what it will tell you are the stocks most likely to outperform the market over the next 6 months and with the least amount of volatility. So in the BCI methodology, we require a scatter rating of 5 or higher. But again, if you use all the other screens in the BCI methodology and you don't have access to the scatter, you're still going to end up with elite performers. So the key takeaway here is we're going to use screens that give you great earnings and revenue growth. Now, a free site where you can also get this, because IBD you have to pay to be a member, is finviz.com. They have great screens there that are for free. You could set up fundamental parameters, PEG ratio, PE ratio, earnings growth, and so on, and generate a great list of elite performers from a fundamental perspective. And once you have that list, now you're ready to run them through the next step, which is the technical analysis and common sense principles.
Mm-hmm. Once again, I'm speaking with Alan Ellman, the president of the Blue Collar Investor. We'll be talking about what they do shortly, and also the author of several books, and the one we're focusing on tonight. And again, at the risk of sounding sacrilegious, I guess, the Complete Encyclopedia for Covered Call Writing is somewhat of a Bible for people that are looking to get into this kind of world. And again, I've interviewed a ton of people on these topics, from, you know, just options specifically, to equity specifically, and merging the two. But this is one of the best books I've ever gotten my hands on. One of the things that you mentioned, that you look at a month, there are a lot of parameters have to be right for it. So everything matches up. You go through the screeners. I like FinViz a lot. I love FinViz a lot. I've been using it for years for myself. I think it's one of the simplest ones out there. I'm not really a fan of Ameritrade or Thinkorswim's screener. I think it's too muddied. Plus, they have a lot of preset screeners already on FinViz, so I highly recommend that site. But when it comes to options, a lot of people, A, don't understand what they are, and a lot of people don't understand what moves them and how they move and all that kind of stuff. You start talking about the Greeks and deltas and rho and vega and theta and so many other things and the impacts on there. You spent a good chunk of this book talking about that and what moves options pricing and option premiums. And now, as the volatility index, a.k.a. the VIX, has gone down, option premiums have gone down. So a lot of people have seen the deterioration of their long options prices, even though the stocks have been moving in their direction, especially obviously out of the money calls, or as they move in that direction and the market's gone up, they've lost value and they don't quite understand how or why. So it seems like they got everything right, except for the fact that they don't really know what's causing the price fluctuations.
Well, yes, there are several factors that affect the premiums of the options. Now, from the perspective of a covered call writer, option sellers, it's quite different than from the perspective of option buyers. When you buy an option, you have theta or time value erosion working against you. It's kind of like if you buy a car and pull it out of the dealer's parking lot. As soon as you pull it out, the value of that car starts decreasing. Every day that passes, the value of that car is less and less. Now, as an option buyer, you're hoping that delta, or the price of the underlying stock, rises enough to counteract the negative effect of theta, or time value erosion. Now, when you're an option seller, like covered call writers are, time value erosion is actually a good thing, because if you end up having to buy back that option, you're going to buy it back at a discount. So if you sold an option at $2 and over time it's starting to erode over that 1 month and you need to buy it back for various position management strategies, that's actually working in your favor. So the main factors that we should concern ourselves with as covered call writers really is vega or volatility. Because the more volatile the underlying security, the good news is that the premium is going to be higher. But the bad news is the more risk you're undertaking. So volatility has to do with what the market's perception of the change in the price of that particular security is over the life of the options contract. So the more that stock price can move up and down, the more risk we are undertaking as option sellers. So what I do in terms of the volatility or the Greeks, when I'm making my determinations as to which stock to select and which option to select, is to find a sweet spot of return on the option premium. Because in essence, that will tell me what the underlying volatility is. When we sell options, when we're doing covered call writing, Alex, we're selling volatility. That's what we are doing. We're selling volatility. So the question becomes then, what kind of return should we look for? Now, I learned my lesson the hard way. So if I can, let me tell you a quick story about something that happened to me back in the 1990s that taught me a very valuable lesson, and it's a key point in my books and DVD programs. So back in the 1990s when I was teaching myself these strategies, there was a company called Taser, which many of your listeners may be familiar with. They create the stun guns. And in the 1990s, they were running various tests at police precincts throughout the United States to test the efficacy of these stun guns. And one report would come back very favorable, and boom, the price of the stock would go up. And the next report would come back a negative, and boom, the price of the stock would drop like a rock. So the security itself, the company, Taser, had tremendous implied volatility. You know, people in the market were anticipating huge price swings in both directions. As a result, the option premiums were huge. So I was looking initially at stocks that returned 2% a month, 3% a month, maybe 4% a month. Taser was returning like 8% a month. So I said to myself, wow, I got to buy some Taser. So I bought a whole bunch of Taser, and I started selling options because the premiums were so high, generating these 8% returns as Taser went from $36 a share down to $6 a share. So I learned my lesson the hard way. I lost a ton of money on Taser. So what you have to do regarding the factors that affect option premium, in this case we're talking about volatility now, implied volatility, or vega is the Greek that's related to implied volatility, is to find your sweet spot. Now, my sweet spot in my portfolio for 1 month initial returns is 2 to 4% a month. That's what I look for in my option premiums. In bull markets, I'll get a little more aggressive, and I'll go maybe up to 6%. And I'm talking about near the money strikes. So price of the stock is 48. We're talking about strikes of 49, 50, 47 in that near the money vicinity. In my mother's account, where I trade covered calls in more conservatively and I use exchange-traded funds, my target for initial monthly returns is 1 to 2%. So the volatility on the securities I use in my mom's account is less or lower than the volatility I use in my own account. So people can actually structure the strategy to their own personal risk tolerance or to their overall market assessment. You know, you could be more bullish in a market that you feel is going up, or you could be more conservative and defensive in a market that you feel is volatile or perhaps bearish. And you could also decide on which securities you're going to buy and which type of options you're going to sell and craft the strategy to those particular parameters.
Now, Alan, one of the other ones that you mentioned in the book that helps, as you wrote here, another tool to enhance our returns. So on page 175, for those keeping score at home, you talk about beta, which is not often talked about when we look at options. We talk about options and things like that. It's not foremost there, but it is very important when you look at the beta of a particular underlying stock and see how it moves. And those, you know, the higher the beta, obviously, the more active and the more wild, the more whippy. Which means that the implied volatility and historic volatility on those names will be higher. So if that's one that you're willing to hold and risk, like a SolarCity, if you really believe in solar long term and you want to hold that for a little bit, you can get really good premium on that. But beta is another way to be able to measure different things. It's also a way to keep you away, depending on what your risk tolerance and appetite are. And of course, what your goals are, as you mentioned, you're looking for 2 to 4 on your own, but 1 to 2% in your mother's name, which is quite a bit conservative now, considering you know, the market, the way it's been over the last several years, volatility has been pretty low. But even still, at this point, when volatility is higher, you're still aiming for that 1 to 2% gain. So that's good discipline there.
Yeah, and by the way, beta is a in my view, everything that I say, is open for discussion. I always feel that beta as it relates to covered call writing, is really a secondary factor, because beta is historical volatility, what happened in the past, as you said. But the implied volatility is something that the market is anticipating right now, and it's really the implied volatility that dictates what our option premiums are and helps us measure the risk in our current positions. So beta is a secondary factor. It kind of gives us a feel for the way the security has been over the long term. And really, depending on the vendor that you're using for beta statistics, because they vary. You know, I get emails frequently, hey, wait a second, you have in your reports, we have premium reports that we produce for our members, a beta of, let's say, 1.3. Well, I went to such and such a site, and it says 1.7. How could that be? Well, beta is, it depends on the time frame that vendor is measuring beta. It could be a one-year time frame like IBD has. It could be a five-year time frame like Yahoo has. So it depends on the time frame they're using. It also depends on the broad market index they're measuring it against. Is it the S&P 500? Is it the Russell 2000? So there are different benchmarks. There are different time frames. So not all betas are created equal. Now, I do agree that it will give us a little more color as to the type of security that we're using, that we're selling these options against. But let me tell your listeners know that in my humble opinion, the implied volatility for covered call writers, especially short term the way I do it, 1 month, is much, much more important than is beta.
Interesting. So now, Alan, again, you've written a bunch of books so far. You've written about selling cash-secured puts. That's something I want to talk about. I think it's only appropriate that we have at least one more show to discuss this. It's probably going to be a couple more, and we're still not – we still only really scratch the surface of the complete encyclopedia for covered call writing. And so we will be doing other shows on this, and hopefully you'll oblige. But you actually
–
appreciate that, Alan. You did actually just publish something a couple of days ago on the site on the Blue Collar Investor, which is Delta and Theta and their impact on our covered call and put selling. I'm actually going to be tweeting this out. I think I did the other day as well, but it's right there. Again, it's from a few days ago. But it's a very important thing. So for people who might have not understood it as we're talking about it, as Alan explained it, even though he said it so cogently, sometimes it just doesn't hit us because we're not bred to understand options. We're bred to think that we can buy something high, buy something low, sell it high, and sell short something high and buy it back lower. So that's really the only thing. But there's so much more to it, and that's why I love options, especially if you have a smaller account and you have somewhat of a discipline that you can do it. It's a great tool to learn, but also to enhance returns. And that's kind of the core tenet of what we're speaking about here. But let's talk about what the Blue Collar Investor is, what you and Barry do out there. Again, it's an incredible site that you guys built out. There's a lot of education, a lot of tools. I mentioned the blog before. It's not a blog where, it's a paragraph and then you got to pay to see the rest. It's not one of those, I think they call it content walls or something like that. But Blue Collar Investor does a lot of things for a lot of people, so I want to make sure people understand exactly what it is and what you offer the trading universe.
Well, I actually spend hours and hours a week writing those weekly blog articles, which are free to anybody who wants them, and they always include charts and graphs. Alex, I'm very fortunate. I have to tell you that at this point in my life, I could do what I want to do, and what I want to do is reach out to as many retail investors as I can, and I've been so fortunate to have reached thousands and thousands of retail investors all over the world. Our site has members in 89 countries outside the United States, and that's why our website is available in 80 different languages. So that's the reason why I put so much emphasis on education, and so much of it is for free on my website. And so we consider ourselves an educational and stock screening service. So the education is in forms of books and DVDs, the blog articles, And on our website, there are this is something that may interest your listeners. We have two tutorials called our Beginner's Corner tutorials that are for free. They're 8-part video tutorials, and you can download the PowerPoints on each of these 8-part tutorials for free as well. One is on covered call writing, the topic we're talking about tonight, and the other is on selling cash-secured puts, which you alluded to a couple minutes ago. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like the old Cliff Notes we used in high school and college about books. Gives you an overview of all the different aspects of these option selling strategies. And it's a great way to get started in the learning process. Then you could move on to the books and the DVD programs. The Complete Encyclopedia is something that took me 4 years to research and gather the information for and ultimately publish. So that's the reason why so many people do consider it their Bible as it relates to covered call writing. So on my website, you have the video tutorials. There's also a link there that says free resources, including the Elman calculator. I've developed a few calculators for these strategies. We give them away for free. If you go to the website and the free resources link, you can download the basic Elman calculator and the user guide that's associated with it. And there's also a put calculator that maybe we can discuss when we get to that topic. And what the calculators will do is they'll take all the math out of the equation. So the calculator will do that for you. So, for example, if you have a stock at 48, getting back to that preview example from before, and sell the $50 option at $1.50, it will give you the statistics that I gave before when we discussed the hypothetical. But if you sell a $45 option that's called in the money, and let's say you sell that for $5. Well, if you buy a stock for 48 and agree to sell it for 45, you're going to lose $3 on the sale of the stock. So you can't count that entire $5 as profit. If you did, you would be exaggerating your results, and there's no point in doing that. The calculator will deduct the $3 from the $5 premium and let you know what your real initial returns are, plus the protection that the in-the-money strike gives that profit. And if you have an opportunity, if you sell an out-of-the-money strike, as we did in the preview example, 48 to 50, it'll tell you how much additional profit you could make if the price of the stock moves up to what's known as the strike price or the agreed-upon sales price. So the calculators are available. There are the video tutorials. We also have other training videos that are for free. And we have something called Ask Alan videos. Over the years, Alex, I get these great, great email questions from our members. And what I've done over the last several years is I've selected the best questions and created PowerPoints and a video response to these questions. And on our site, we show about 10 or 11 of them for free. And those that are members get the entire library. We're up to about 120 now. I can't believe it, of these Ask Alan. So people ask these great questions, and I respond to them in PowerPoint video format. But there are 11 of them for free on the website as well. So check out the website to all the listeners. There's a lot of free information there. And that's what my goal is, to get all this education out, because I feel, and Alex, I'll bet you agree with this, that our education system really fell short when it came to educating us on how to self-invest with stocks and stock options. And that's one of the reasons why I'm doing what I'm doing, and one of the reasons now that I've become to realize how many people want to take control of their own financial futures. It's really been so eye-opening to me. I never thought there were that many people out there that thought the way I did.
Now, I agree with you 100% in the sense that the education system has failed, whether purposefully or otherwise. You know, we can have that conversation forever, and it'll come off somewhat conspiratorial. But I do agree. I'm self-taught in the markets. I went to school for journalism. What do I know? Although it has helped me a little bit in creating this amazing show that I've been doing for over 8 years. But again, my passion is the markets. My passion is investing in finance, and part of it is because it seems so elusive. And there's two ways to look at that, right, Alan? It's elusive, so it intrigues you. You want to learn about it. It's kind of that siren song, and it brings you to it. And it's the elusiveness of it makes people run away and shy away from it. And because we've never really been conditioned to think about our financial futures and things like that, it's more, oh, Social Security will be there. Oh, it's okay. I have a credit card. Oh, it's okay. You know, I'll take out a loan or debt. And we create this environment where we believe that debt is a good thing, and it can be, but not the way that it's become. It's become abused in such a way that it's disastrous, and we've seen so many negative impacts of it, obviously. But there are ways to get out of that. You tweet a lot about that and how fortunate you were. You mentioned before. So I've discovered this system and what you guys do at Blue Collar Investor. And you do tweet out a lot of those emails and messages that you get from people. It's quite motivational. It's also, besides the fact that it's inspiring, it's also good to know that there's other people out there that are trying to take their matters into their own hands and not afraid to ask what they might consider a stupid question or a silly question or whatever. They're trying to learn, and we're all trying to learn. I mean, you're learning every single day when you spend all this time putting books together, doing blog posts.
Well, yeah, that's
like that.
True. I tell people all the time that that on my site and when I do my seminars, everybody's equal. And, you know, I could do a seminar and have like 200 people in the audience. And, you know, it's not shocking to me if I learn something or if somebody asks a question I don't know the answer to, then right away I'll go back and research it. So that'll make me a smarter person and a better investor. So it's kind of like we learn from each other. And over the years, you know, that the book you're talking about tonight, The Complete Encyclopedia, the classic version, that book was a result of people asking a lot of questions, making comments, me researching, adding more material to it. I mean, it's 500 pages. And so, you know, on one topic, on one little small area of option selling, covered call writing, how could you write 500 pages? And I have a second book that came out a couple months ago, Volume 2, which is additional information from Volume 1. So how could you write so much about one little subject matter, covered call writing? And the answer is because I have so many great members that email me these questions. I do the research, peripherally related topics that interest our members, and that's made me a better investor, a better author, and gave me the ability to provide more information to thousands and thousands of people all over the world. So it's kind of like a two-way street. I benefit, and hopefully our members benefit as well.
Yeah, man, it takes away the element of the zero-sum game where you're not poaching information from people that you might not be thinking of yourself and claim it as your own, and also you're not arbitrarily charging people something that they're never going to get anything out of. There's no snake oil here. That's why I had you on the show, Alan. That's why I'm very selective with who I have on my show. I can get a lot of people on the show, but I don't trust a lot of people. I don't endorse a lot of stuff, and I don't feel comfortable doing that. I want people to do their own research. I would like people to go to your site, thebluecollarinvestor.com, and see what it's all about. I encourage people to follow you on Twitter because it's free and easy to do it. In line with all that, I encourage people to, as the old saying goes now, Google it and find out about it. And if you have an Android phone, say, okay, Google, what is a cash secured put? And more than likely, Google will read off the Wikipedia translation to you of what exactly that is. And it's such a great tool that we have now, such a great luxury that we have, that we can search anything and find out anything. There's no excuse for ignorance. There's no excuse for arrogance. There's benefits and there's gifts that we've had through technology that allow us to do things we weren't able to do 10, 15, 20 years ago. So take advantage of it and do your research. And again, check out books like Alan's The Complete Encyclopedia for Covered Call Writing and Part 2. Congratulations on the release of the Part 2 with the updated info. And Alan, I can't wait to have you back on again because, again, we're really only scratching the surface of everything. And there's so much that you can not only just educate me on, but my audience as well. So I appreciate that you do that.
Thanks so much for the invitation, Alex. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks so much. Great conversation for sure. And we'll be in contact offline. We're trying to figure out the next time to bring you on and talk about more investing options and things like that.
Sounds good, Alex.
Thanks so much, Alan. Appreciate it. Have a great night.
You too.
Thanks.